This has been one of the hardest Januaries I can ever remember. That's a surprising opening line for a message that's supposed to be about optimism, isn't it? With a beginning like that, you might expect me to launch into a list of reasons why the start of 2019 deserves that sad indictment. But instead, I will simply say that I cannot recall a period of time so intensely grief-laden for so many of the people I am privileged to call friends or family. And it doesn't seem to be just my experience this month. A friend of mine recently attended 3 funerals in 1 weekend. Attending just 1 funeral in a month, whether it is an honor of your own loved one or that of a friend's, is enough in itself to spark contemplation about the finite nature of our lives and launch us into a reevaluation of what's important. As Christians, when we go through extended or unimaginably difficult times, we often wonder if it's okay to show our weariness, vulnerability, and discouragement because we fear that our non-believing friends, family, and coworkers might see our melancholy and determine that the abundant hope of our faith has let us down. Even among other believers, we sometimes shy away from revealing our inner struggles with anger, depression, sadness, and disappointment, all because we don't want any of them to think we've lost our hope or aren't leaning into Jesus. All of this contemplation has left me wondering, does God expect his followers to be optimists all of the time, some of the time? Is being a realist more realistic? And what about people who have a personality type that's wired to be an outright pessimist? What should they do? As a community of believers, how do we encourage people to be authentic with each other, even in times of great pain, doubt, or grief, without crossing the line into complaining, grumbling, and whining? As I've been thinking about this, the concept of hope keeps coming to the forefront over and over. Last year, I had the privilege of hearing Cynthia Rukte speak at a conference, and I was riveted by the theme that she uses for her life and her ministry, hemmed in hope, H-E-M-M-E-D, hemmed in hope. As she gave a bit of her testimony, I understood why that phrase has become her banner cry. No matter what hardship she has endured or will encounter in the future, everything that happens is within the boundary of Christ's love and oversight. And for that reason, every moment of her life brims with hope. And from the little bit that I got to know her, I don't think she means she wakes up every day feeling cheery, but I'm willing to bet that she does wake up every day believing that no matter what occurs, God will whisper words of hope to her soul to not only get her through the day, but to help her reveal his hope to others. But what does that kind of hope look like? How does it behave or emerge in the throes of everyday life? Clearly, hope is different than pessimism, but is it different than optimism or realism? Can hope even be compared to these, or are they apples and oranges? Rather than a lens or a filter by which we view the world and the things that happen to us, or what we worry will happen to us, I think hope is entirely something different. Hope is a companion, a partner, an enabler. Hope is the voice that never fails to tell us as many times as we need to hear it that no matter how grim the situation, we have a glorious destiny where every tear will be wiped away. The journey to our eternal destiny will present us with challenges, but our eternities will be perfect in every way. 1 Peter 1, 3-4 says, quote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you," unquote. Even with the promise of a guaranteed reservation at the ultimate resort of all time, most of us, however, have a very hard time feeling the hope of heaven when we're down in the pits of the daily grind. I think most people, even those who claim to have no faith at all, believe in some concept of heaven. But the thought of eventually being restored to perfection in the afterlife doesn't seem to bring much comfort to most people in the middle of an earthly trial, like losing a loved one, going through bankruptcy, or watching your adult child make horrible choices. Many people miss out on the other immediate benefit of hope simply because they don't ready themselves to receive it. Hope is offered to us continually because the Spirit of Christ lives in us every day. But most of us go through our lives as if the companion of hope doesn't exist. That is, until we hit a major roadblock. Then suddenly we want to feel all that hope offers, like peace and comfort, but we have no idea how to access it because we're out of practice, or we never learned how in the first place. Walking with hope takes practice. We have to learn how to receive and utilize the promises of hope by spending time with the giver of hope on a daily basis. Jesus says in Matthew 11:29, to quote, "learn from me and you will find rest for your souls," unquote. The hope of Christ isn't a magic spell. It can't be activated only when we need it. Hope is something we cultivate deep within ourselves that rises higher and higher the longer we pursue God and yield our need for control to Him. Hope changes our desires and perspectives. Hope doesn't change what we see, like the lens of optimism or pessimism. Hope changes us to withstand the journey this side of heaven with enduring joy, peace, and contentment. So the answer to the question at the beginning of this post is surprisingly no. People who are hope practitioners on a daily basis are probably much more likely to be perceived as optimists. But Christians aren't supposed to be any particular way other than what God is making them to be. Christians aren't supposed to be worriers either, but I have an anxiety disorder. And occasionally that causes me to be a pessimist. But little by little, I'm experiencing the brain-changing miracle of hope. Change only happens if I believe it can. Belief only happens if I trust. And trust only happens if I surrender. Romans 15:13 says, quote, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit," unquote. As I practice the holy prescription that cures anxiety, found in Philippians 4:4-9, God is transforming my mind according to Romans 12:2. In Philippians 1:6, from the Message Version says, quote, "There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears," unquote. Now that's a hope-filled promise we all can count on, optimists, realists, and pessimists alike. Hey, thanks so much for listening to my blog post today. I hope you liked it, and if you do, I could really use your help in getting the word out on social media. You can find my posts every week on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. So if you like any of those sites, please log on and share and click like. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.